Hello guys. My name is Atana Navar and I'm here with my co-host Sophie.
Hi everyone, it's been a while, but we're
Yes,
back.
we are back. So don't ask why we've been away for a while. Life happened, but we've decided to come back, start making podcasts again. And today's topic, we were reading something on Reddit. And there was this post that someone from a South Asian Muslim background wrote. And she wrote something along the lines of, I'm an ex-Muslim, but even when I was a Muslim, I just call myself Muslim, even though I barely practiced the religion. I've had to live a double life due to living at home with my parents. I do this for my own safety, like thousands of people, on Reddit and in general. However, I have noticed a deeply disturbing trend of making memes, jokes, and TikToks about how brown girls change their clothes when they leave their house, or how Aisha is lying to their parents about going to the library but actually going on a date. And this person who wrote this post was quite bothered about it because it's a very real thing that happens, and it's not something that should be joked about. And I think the joking behind it is a defense mechanism
Yeah, definitely.
because it's something that we don't want to face in reality, because in most South Asian cultures, I feel like it's you can't really talk back to like.
Yeah, it's a way of expressing themselves and coping. Because you have no other outlet. It's not like you can turn to your parents and be like, I feel this way. So as a way of coping, they turn to social media or TikTok and try and make a joke and a laugh about it and lighten the situation that they're in,
Yeah.
which is it's quite sad.
It is quite sad because, a lot of people, I remember even when some people that I work with that are depressed, like they make jokes constantly. But then they're really, really depressed and low in mood. And it's the same thing of making something light out of something serious because you don't want to face it. And I think here with the whole, kind of South Asian element of it, having to speak to your parents, that's not something you can do because your parents might not understand because they're from a whole different culture, a whole different generation. And I feel like, emotional availability isn't a thing.
Especially when they have different struggles and different stresses that they're constantly having to battle every day. I feel like that's also an element where they don't have the time emotionally for their children. So they think, oh, if I've given them a house, I've given them heating, I've given them food, everything is fine. I've done my bit for my child. But I think that's where the mistake lies. They don't understand that their child needs more than just the materialistic aspects of life.
And it's not something you can blame,
Them,
them
yeah.
for, because that's what they were taught, that's all they know as well. And that's their way of showing love. They don't express it directly, it's more of an indirect thing. And I feel like, especially in the Western culture now, when we naturally we compare to others that we see and their parents telling them, I love you, I'm here for you, you can talk to me about anything. It's very rare to find that in our culture. And it does make me think that if we were, still in, like our country, like would we be aware of our own emotions as well?
Yeah, because our upbringing would be drastically different. So, and we might not be as exposed to different cultures of like how other kids have grown up and the way other parents show emotional love to their kids. So maybe.
It might have like the awareness might have not been there. And I actually wonder if we didn't know that, emotional availability should be a thing, would we be happier?
But having said that, we live in a day and age now where social media takes up a large amount of our lives. So you can argue that point and say, well, I've seen it online.
Yeah, it's true.
It must be normal.
It's true.
Yeah.
Social media is a thing. Mm. I mean, and to be honest, I think emotional availability is actually really important. It is interesting to kind of think what the other side would look like. But being aware of it is a very big thing. Mm. And we probably wouldn't be aware if we weren't in this country. And that's where there's this whole culture clash as well from, you know, I feel like first generation. I think that's what we are, first generation.
But having said that, I do feel like I've seen some families where the parents are emotionally available.
Mm.
And sometimes it can be financially. Like if some parent, like from our culture, if some parents are financially well off, I feel like some parents are quite emotionally there, I think, because they don't have that stress of paying the bills or whatnot. So maybe it could play a part.
Yeah, I think it does. Because I guess, I mean, I'm not a parent, so I don't know. But I'm assuming that my parents probably worked really hard. Not assuming, I know they worked really hard so that we do have a roof over our head.
Mm.
And in their mind, they're thinking of the basics, you know, food on the table, bills getting paid, a whole different country, a whole different, you know, they're out of their comfort zone.
And our education.
Yeah, education.
Because if you think about someone who's lived here for two generations, they understand the education system. Mm. Whereas for our parents, it was, what's the next step? What's the thing? Mm. So that's a stress in itself, and they're trying to keep on top of everything. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, because, and that's, you know, the whole kind of, like, even, like, oh, the whole kind of, like, stereotype of, like, Asians being doctors and lawyers and whatever, that comes from, you know, in our South Asian countries, because that was what was highly respected, well paid. But actually here, there are so many other jobs where, you know, people get paid more than doctors and lawyers and engineers.
But they're not aware,
that's the point, yeah.
So that's why I think a lot of kids these days, even though they want to branch out and try out different career paths, they have this kind of, like, shame or this anxiety of, oh, is it a good idea? Am I going to disappoint my parents of trying this career path?
Yeah.
And then sometimes with parents, they might feel like in that society, like, oh, how can I tell so-and-so, like, you've decided to do this with your life when this person's kid is going to become a doctor or this person's kid is going to be a lawyer?
Yeah.
How can we face them, kind of thing? Mm. And that kind of shame around it.
Yeah. Shame is a very big thing. I was actually reading this thing online, and it said how in Western culture, shame is something when one person feels that they have not lived up to their own expectation of themselves. But in other cultures, so the Eastern side of the world, when a person doesn't live up to the community's rules and the community's expectations, then that's an internal shame. So it's very much linked to the way the culture is there. So here, everyone's very individualistic, that's the word. So, you know, there isn't really much of a community, whereas back in the day, it's like a collectivist culture, which means that everyone's together, like people go around to the neighbor's house and everyone knows everyone's business. And when someone needs help, they like go around the community. And the shame, I think it's kind of like, if there's shame, there's a fear of isolation and losing those family connections and that external support. And it's actually quite ironic, because in the end, because of the shame, you're actually not
fulfilling what you want to do.
Yeah,
in life.
Fulfilling what you want to do. And that in turn makes you, I don't know, stressed, depressed, whatever.
Mm.
And that in itself is another type of shame, because why are you not normal,
yeah,
right? And then actually you don't even have that community there anyway, because you feel the shame and you don't want other people to know.
Yeah.
So you're not even seeking help for something that you should seek help
yeah.
for,
yeah.
or being the ability to be open and express yourself openly. It's not there. And it's really sad actually.
Yeah. Because the thing that's supposed to be good and having that village behind you and that support system is also the same thing that's in the end hindering you if you want to break out of the society rules and the norms of what you're supposed to do. Yeah, which is actually really sad thinking about it. Yeah.
Because then you don't have freedom. You feel like you can't you know, develop your personality, you can't develop your identity because you're kind of forced to conform, because if you don't conform, then
you're seen as a failure or a shame to the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you lose connections. Yeah. And then as human beings, you know, we want connections.
Yeah.
So that's a fear in itself. So there's a fear. So the question is, why don't a lot of people do what they want to do? And it is fear.
Yeah, the baseline is
that's fear, and it can be fear of isolation, fear of being judged,
the fear of failing. So say you do go after your dreams and you fail, you have to go and face those people and be like, yep, I failed.
Oh, God, and that's gonna like bring up even more things, you know. So it is a very difficult thing to have, you know, the pressures from your home and from the society and from culture, and it's not nice to think that you're not able to be yourself because you're going against your core values. So like, you can't be yourself, and that's hurting you because you're not aligned with your core values. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's also going back to the fear of, if you do break out, will people still accept you? And like something that people, I feel like when you follow your dream or whatever you want to do, if you don't like fulfill it to a certain standard or like go over and beyond and overachieve in whatever you have chosen, people will judge you for it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you followed the norm and was like, oh, I'm a doctor, but you just did the minimum basic of being a doctor, it's fine because you're still a doctor.
Yeah, and they'll clap for you. They'll be like, oh my God, you know, I'm a doctor, or my son or my daughter's a doctor.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's amazing that you're a doctor. Yeah, not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah, we're not taking it away from you.
Yeah.
Because that in itself is an achievement. Yes. Like, you went, you studied, you worked hard, you put the work in.
Mm.
But for people who don't want to do that, it's not fair to conform to that.
Yeah. So imagine living your life
for other people.
For other people.
Yeah.
Doing something that you don't want to do, waking up every day, going to work, sitting there miserable because you did this for someone else and not for you.
Yeah, basically.
So I guess it's how can we do more of what we want to do?
Yeah.
And maybe it's like a thing of balance. Maybe it's more conversations at home. Maybe speaking openly with your community or with your family to be like, this is what I want.
Or maybe get a mentor in the field that you'd like to go into. Dip your toes, maybe see if that is the industry you want to go into, or if it is something that you're potentially very serious about. And if it is for you, then you have a mentor as well to help you, guide you through the industry, as well as you're not taking as a huge risk factor because you're not on your own. You have someone there to help you along the way.
Yeah.
So,
and that's a great like accountability partner as well, a great guide. So I guess it can also boost like your self-esteem.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever you have like those dark thoughts that, like, you know,
imposter syndrome.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, can I actually do this? Yeah. You know, thinking about your parents, your culture, whatever, in the back of your mind, you've got someone there to be like, no, you got this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here. I got you.
Yeah.
I can guide you through it. So that's definitely a very good thing, actually, to have a mentor. And I think a lot of people don't do what they want as well because they don't know where to start.
Yeah,
they don't know where to start. They don't know what to do. And maybe if you do know what you want to do, it's easy to commit to the goal rather than committing to the process of it. So some people get really like, you know, in their heads, they're very much into like, yeah, that's the goal, that's what I want to achieve, da, 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 da. But you're waking up every day, you're thinking about the goal, but you're not actually doing anything.
Yeah, maybe you can do like a step-by-step on how to get there, like baby steps or objectives instead.
Yeah, so breaking it down.
And
like,
especially in, sorry, I interrupted you, but in a day and age where we live with social media, you can easily go on YouTube, go on TikTok, find out what the people that you, the industry that you want to go into are doing and see what steps they took to get there, how they achieved what they achieved. Like, nothing built, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yes,
so
exactly.
You, everything takes time. Yeah. So just because you want to do something tomorrow, you're not going to be that. You need to take time and really build on it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the whole kind of thing of, you know, enjoying the journey.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the book, The Alchemist.
Yeah.
So have you read it?
No, I haven't.
But it's an amazing book. Like, I read it like 3 times. And it's this young lad that has this goal. He needs to go to Egypt to the pyramids to do something. And that's his main goal. But on his journey there, there's loads of pit stops. And he gets kind of like, you know, at each pit stop that he goes to, he learns something new, or he's self-developed, or he's improved himself in some kind of way. And it's great because eventually he does get to his destination, but through the journey he has grown so much. So if he didn't have those pit stops, then he wouldn't be who he needed to be at the end. So yes, definitely about the journey. And once you're kind of accepting that it is going to be a journey, it's easier to commit to it.
Yeah.
Because you're aware that it's small steps, like you said. Yeah. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. Do you have to take things little by little and do things slowly? There's actually this thing called an ikigai, which I did myself when I decided I wanted to be a life coach. And it's a Japanese kind of thing. It's like the Japanese secret to a joyful life. And it's really, really cool. So you can Google it. There's like videos on YouTube as well. Like you said, YouTube is a wealth of knowledge. Like, we are so blessed to have the internet and access to so much free information. Like, we should definitely utilize it. So
there's literally no need to pay for anything in this day and age.
You don't need to.
Everything is literally on your fingertips.
Yeah. Even like, you know, workouts and things like that. Like, you don't need to go to the gym. You can do a home workout and still be fit. So this thing called an ikigai, it's spelled I-K-I-G-A-I. And what you do is, if you had a piece of paper, you draw an X across. So you've got 4 boxes. And then in one box, you write what you love. So what you like doing. And then in another box, you write what the world needs. And then in another box, you write what you're good at. And then the last one is what you can be paid for. So mine was something like, what I love is, you know, helping people, seeing improvement in people, seeing people get better and realize things about themselves. What the world needs, I don't know, more love, more peace, self-awareness, you know. What I'm good at is holding space for people, listening, things like that. So in the end, you know, when it came to what you can be paid for, I wrote life coaching, and it fulfills everything that I kind of needed. And I have no resentments. I don't feel like, oh, I hate my job. I bloody love my job.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people can't say that.
Yeah.
And I definitely recommend doing an ikigai because it gives you a sort of purpose in life. And it's a great way to start to know what is it that I want to do.
And help you break out of the box.
Yes, break out of the box, break out of the cage, be a free bird. Yep. And once you're actually committed to something, I feel like it's easier to tell people around you that this is what I want to do.
And remember, like, your parents, they don't want to see you miserable. If they see you actually genuinely happy doing what you love and you're getting paid for it, they would support you 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just not aware. That's all.
Yeah, because maybe you do need to help them understand that this is what it is. Because the reason why our parents, I think, become anxious or fearful is because they don't understand. Fear is, you know, fear of the unknown. So once they know, they might be more understanding and more receptive of it.
Yeah, and open to the whole concept.
And that's with, like, everything in life as well. Once you have the understanding, there is less anxiety around that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of going back to... because we've gone off on so many tangents, which we usually do. So going back to the Reddit post. So, you know, this lady kind of mentioning she had to live a double life. It's really easy for us to be like, oh, speak to your parents or, you know, find out what you want to do and find yourself and da-da-da. We understand that it is definitely much harder to do.
Yeah. To be honest, I feel like with this Reddit post, she's talking more of like day-to-day life and the cultural expectations of like brown girls having to stay at home, help their parents and live a certain way while their brothers or their cousin, male cousins or whatever, they have the freedom to be able to explore and do whatever they want. Like I saw one TikTok where one girl was saying how she wants to travel the world, but her parents just say, oh, wait till you get married and you can travel with your husband. And it's like, but when she does marry her husband, you don't know, like, his responsibilities to his family and whatnot. And then she's probably has to share the burdens and the responsibilities with her husband. So it's kind of unfair, like, I think that's what she's meaning, having to live this double life because they're not given the freedom.
Yeah. And I think as a woman as well, that's a really good point because there are, you know, very big differences in what a man can do and what a woman can do.
Yeah. And the way both genders are raised.
Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be doing that because you're
a girl. What will people think?
Yeah. But for a guy, it's perfectly fine. You go do whatever you want.
Yeah.
No one's going to judge you.
Yeah.
But we judge women.
Yeah, so, like, even, like, down to, like, what you wear. Oh, your skirt's a bit short. But then a guy could wear his trousers halfway between his knees and walk out of the house.
That's okay. Do what you want.
Yeah, live your life.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I kind of understand that there is this whole fear around women as well because of, you know, how nasty the world can be and other human beings. You know, I know... You know, mothers and fathers are probably very worried about their daughters because they hear things on the news.
Yeah.
And they don't want the same fate or similar thing to happen to their child, which is understandable.
And it's fair. It's a fair point. Yeah. Yeah.
But also, what are the chances that something terrible is going to happen? It could, most definitely, because it does happen. But you can't choose to live your life in fear constantly.
But in a way, I don't blame parents. It's like when your parents see other parents raise their kid in a certain way, you to them, they're thinking, oh, maybe that's how I should raise the kids as well. Yeah. And then when their parents have raised them in that way, they probably think, oh, we turned out okay, so it should be fine for me to raise my kid like that. But they don't understand the pain behind... like having to see a male counterpart live their full life while you're stuck at home or you having to live a certain life and not feel the same freedoms as your brother or whoever.
Yeah, that makes me think whether the older generations were just more accepting of their fate.
Yeah.
Whereas now we're kind of like, no.
Yeah, I think social media might play into that as well, because you're seeing how other people are living their life.
Mm.
Because if you're not exposed to other people, like people living in a certain way, you're thinking, oh, okay, this is normal. Yeah, this is how people live. And if you're seeing other, in your community, other girls being raised the same way, you're thinking, oh, that's fine. Because that's how everyone lives.
Mm.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really important actually to be open to meeting people from all walks of life, because if you're in a bubble, that's all you know. Mm. You don't know any better.
Yeah.
But then once you, you know, social media, once you see things and see how people are, then you kind of like, then I guess you can kind of compare and make your own opinions and judgments, let's say, and then decide how you want to live your life and continue forward.
Then again, it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Especially when you're living that life.
Yeah.
It probably feels like there's no way out.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah. I think, I feel like when you think that there's no way out, I don't know if it's whether you've kind of shut yourself off, or maybe it's that whole kind of accepting my fate thing.
I think maybe that's why loads of girls turn to living a double life.
Yeah.
Because at home they're expected to be a certain way, but then when they go out to society, like in school, in the workplace, they're expected to be a different person. Mm. And so they, as a way of coping with all kinds of social situations, they've been made to live a double life.
Yeah, different personas for different situations. Because it's kind of like a conflict between not wanting to go against your culture and your upbringing, but then a conflict with, you know, who you are and who you want to be and how you want to express yourself. And I genuinely think that you can balance both, I guess, if that's what you want to do. But if you feel like, because this lady here, she describes herself as an ex-Muslim, which I assume she's not Muslim anymore.
Yeah.
So if that's what you want to do, is to just be yourself and express yourself in the way you want, you know, leading a double life, I feel like it'll be so, so confusing, so difficult to maintain. That probably comes along with, you know, so many other stresses and problems, having to hide things from your family.
Yeah.
Being on edge, if that's fear in itself.
Yeah, and I think, like, in other cultures, there's, like, honour killings. So that in itself is scary. Because if I knew that that was happening to someone within my community, there's no way I'll be breaking out of my box.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to step out of the social norm, because I want to survive. Yeah. I want to live, you know? So
yeah, that's a fear.
It's hard. Yeah, it's a hard one.
I think honour killings is such a crazy concept because it's not normal for us. But it's mad to think how it's normal in certain places of the world.
Yeah.
You know, that if I step out of line, my family could kill me.
Yeah, like, the people who are supposed to protect you.
Yeah, they're killing you because of shame, because of what other people will think. Mm. How insane is that?
But what's mad is when they do the honour killing, the society or their community applaud them for it.
Yeah.
That's what really, it just boggles my mind. Like, I'm just like, what?
Like, it's quite, like, animalistic. It's like, you know, if you imagine, like, a group of sheep and there was one particular sheep that was, I don't know, quite slow and bringing the herd, you know, like, causing complications for the herd, then if they killed that sheep off, then they'll be fine. It's kind of like killing off the weak one or killing off the one that isn't going along with the herd. For what? For survival. But what is surviving, though? A really messed up thought process, a really messed up idea of how things should be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Honor Killings is an insane, insane thing. And it does go back to kind of, you know, if they don't do that honor killing, then that whole family would be, I guess, ostracized because, you know, and then they'll lose the connection to
the respect and whatever it is that they have within that community.
Yeah.
Which is quite sad. Yeah. Because theoretically, it should be the opposite.
Mm.
But I don't know, for some reason.
It's just, yeah. It's,
yeah.
Went dark real quick.
Yeah, it did.
Okay, so we've discussed quite a few topics today, I think. Yeah. The, you know, double lives, not having the freedom of what we want to do, how we can attempt to create that freedom, shame, and how that's an issue for collectivist cultures. Anything else?
No, I think you've covered most of the points.
Yeah. And, I mean, definitely try that Ikigai thing as well, just to kind of, you know, set goals, find your purpose, and give thought to something that you do want to do, because I'm definitely a promoter of having the freedom to do what you want without having the fear of judgment.
And if you are thinking about doing it, don't talk to someone within your circle. Talk outside of your circle and see whether you actually want to do it before you open up the conversation with people around you.
Mm.
And set like foundations to see like whether it's okay, and then step out.
Yeah, I think it's definitely good to speak to outsiders.
Yeah.
Because outside,
within the industry.
So you know more about what it is you could be potentially getting yourself into. And also, there's no judgment from someone that's outside of your circle.
Yeah.
Or less chance of judgment, let's say.
And if you want to walk away, you can walk away.
Yeah.
No one's holding you accountable for thinking of doing something that you just want to try out.
Yeah.
So
that's our thoughts for today.
Yep.
And our first episode back into podcasting. Yep. So we definitely will be doing more.
Hopefully.
Yes. So stay tuned.
Yep. I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.